Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
AD gives it up to Boogie. Gave up the dribble early. Over the top.
Yes!
From DeMarcus Cousins. He's now a dime away from a triple-double.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Two would tie. A three would give the Nuggets the lead. Curry around the corner. Driving in. Hang!
Pretty good hang time by the youngster. Watch this.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
It is time for Damian Lillard to go to the Portland Trail Blazers organization and demand to be traded. Because it's official, ladies and gentlemen. It's official. He will never receive the applause and the accolades he so richly deserves so long as he's in the Pacific Northwest in a city other than Seattle.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
It is 12:02 in the Rose City. It is time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague, Andy Dirt Johnson with you on this Tuesday afternoon. Do you think the Golf Channel realizes how much they make us hate them when they air tournaments in the Bahamas and they start with the in shot along the beach, water's crystal clear, the sand is white?
I think they're doing it on purpose just to get us riled up. And it's also the only reason that I watch the Golf Channel this time of year. I don't care what happens on this web.com tour. I don't
Most
know if people
don't.
Lead.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But when I'm looking outside our new window that we can now see outside, and I don't see any blue, I don't see any yellow, I just see gray and rain, looking up at the TV screen and seeing the Bahamas, it's a nice little treat. I'm not going to lie.
Makes you wish you could take a nice little vacay for about 2 weeks, disappear.
Just fall off the face of the earth.
Considering the tourism department of the Bahamas is the main sponsor of the broadcast.
They know what they're doing.
They know what they're doing.
That was the first thing I said. I turned on the TV. We had some weird ESPN thing on. I always flip to either the MLB Network or the Golf Channel if they're playing somewhere sunny and tropical. It's the first thing I said. I want to go to the Bahamas, man.
Right, but you're saying you watch this for that reason. That actually makes me want to turn the channel. That doesn't make me want to stay.
It doesn't make you want to stick around.
No, I'm the kind of person that...
No, you're jealous.
You're jealous.
If I can't be there, I don't want any part of it. You can't...
Well, the image of
it warms your heart.
Nobody cares about these tournaments. Like, nobody. There's like 10 people. 10.
Yeah, Swigart's one of them.
Yeah, you're one of 10 that care about these tournaments. They're only able to play because they go to these incredible, beautiful destinations. I'm absolutely the person that if I, for whatever reason, accidentally flip it on and you start at the coastline and it's a calendar, I'm changing the channel.
I refuse. I don't want to do this.
I'm not participating in watching all these other people
enjoy their life, play in the sun.
Just be happy with it. Yeah.
People sitting on the beach. It's one of the main reasons why I watch a lot of spring training baseball too. Like, you just turn it on and it's a sunny day in Arizona. It's like 79 degrees. Like, man, I wish I was in that right now.
See, I'm with you on the temperature. Arizona doesn't like get me excited.
No, it doesn't wow you, but at least the TV's warm. It might be cold outside, but at least the TV's warm, and I can appreciate that a little bit.
That's true. Are you going to go to the waste management this year?
No.
I thought you were going to do that with
your buddy. I've always wanted to try to go down to the waste management.
Because Scott goes to it, right?
But he's actually not going this year. But yeah, I got a buddy who's been like the last 3 years. And we had a listener text in yesterday saying that he was planning on going this year and sitting on the 16th or the 17th?
17, yeah.
And just getting hammered the whole time, which, I mean, that sounds like a great weekend. But my eyes are on golf, though, because Tiger's playing this weekend.
El Tigre is back,
He's teeing off, I believe, at 10:40 on Thursday.
Yes.
And that's what we're going to be watching during the show on Thursday.
Absolutely. Oh,
yeah. Live updates every, like, 15 minutes. What did he do on the first, second, third, fourth hole?
Or does he do it at the last tournament, and does he start out pretty strong and have people going, oh, he can win the Masters?
Here we go. Imagine the buzz that's going to be created if he plays well this weekend. If he has a good showing for 4 days and he looks healthy and he's swinging he didn't have to win the tournament, but if he has a good showing, whew, sign me up for this year's golf season.
Well, I already know what's going to happen if that transpires. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to tell you that I'm going to lay a hundo.
Oh, yeah. You're going to lay some money on him.
And you're going to tell me I'm a royal idiot. And yeah. You're going to poo-poo Tiger Woods' entire performance. He could win the tournament. You will still sit here and say, no chance he wins a major. That's how it's going to happen. That's how it's been happening for like 5-6 years now.
It feels like it's a matter of time until he wins another one or is back competitive, but you got to see the back consistently before you go there.
And that's fair.
Yeah.
If he goes out and wins a tournament.
Oh, that changes everything.
Let's say the back holds up. He plays 2 or 3 tournaments before the Masters.
Mm-hmm.
Back holds up. Are you willing to say, maybe not this year or next year, at some point he wins at least just one more?
Oh, absolutely. If you see him stay healthy for a decent stretch of time.
If he can play 3 or 4 tournaments over the course of 6 to 8 weeks and not have any issues.
See, I don't need. Why do you need to play 6 to 8 weeks?
Well, you need.
You can go play private rounds on your own courses. You don't need to be.
Well, he's already.
Tournament.
I believe he's already released his schedule for this year. Like he's already.
Yeah,
basically
he's going to play. He's playing in this one. He's going to play in.
He's not in the Waste Management. I don't believe.
No, he'll be in the Genesis, which is the old LA Open at Riviera. And he'll. I'm guessing he'll play in. Is it Bay Hill? He usually plays at.
Mm-hmm.
And one other one.
So he'll play like.
So if he'll play 3 or 4
he'll
tournaments
probably. Play 4 tournaments before the Masters.
And he'll play all the majors if he can hold up.
If he stays healthy through all 3 or 4 and he looks good, I have no problem going down that road and thinking he's got a legit chance.
So yesterday I found out that he was playing. I didn't even know he was in this tournament. And that's on me as a Tiger groupie.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to a golf podcast.
Ooh, golf pod.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Okay.
I stumbled across a golf podcast and I listened to like 40 minutes of it. And evidently the conspiracy, or not conspiracy, the thinking is he screwed himself up because he chose to go to Dubai a few years ago. And he should have just stayed stateside and not traveled.
Sitting
done
on that flight for like 20 hours didn't do him any good.
Yeah, just that's kind of the thinking is him going to Dubai was not a smart move because he wants to go over there.
Right.
Shake the hands.
He's got to make some money. He's got to protect the brand internationally.
Right. Well, the European Tour does offer appearance fees for... The PGA Tour will not. It's the one
one of
the things they have held fast to. But you can get an appearance fee if
hard not to say yes to that.
Yeah, at this point in your career, though, aren't you saying I've made a decent amount of money as Tiger Woods? I don't need to go get an appearance fee in Dubai. I think I'll be okay financially.
Right, but if you're Tiger, you are a god in Dubai. I bet Dubai's been really good to Tiger.
I bet
Tiger Woods has broken laws in Dubai.
Yeah, he's had some fun in Dubai.
Because they're pretty strict over there. And I bet you he's done things that if it was released publicly, he would be on the most wanted list for Dubai. They'd have those floating police cars that they have now. Like drone cop cars, basically, with people on them.
Circling in on Tiger.
Yeah, follow him around.
We know what you did in your hotel last night, Tiger. We know what you did.
Yeah, we saw that. That's illegal to do here in this country. You're not supposed to put that there.
You can't get away with that.
I don't want to see that.
We had another listener, by the way. So now we're up to 2 listeners who have texted in now saying they're going to Phoenix for the Waste Management Open.
It's a bucket list thing.
Like the stories that I've heard that my buddy Scott told me, the stories that he has said about that, it sounds like such a fun weekend. Because it's not just your normal run-of-the-mill golf tournament.
No, you get to talk. You get
to scream.
It's
a weekend party. You can make noise. He was telling me about it. They have this, like, they have, like, booths or tents that are, like, nightclubs on the course that you walk in and you put headphones on. And everybody's, you don't know what music people are listening to. Like, everybody has different music. So you have, because you obviously can't have loud music. So you're hanging out at this, like, bar situation. Everybody's listening to the music in their headphones. You're dancing, you're drinking, you're partying. But it's like a quiet nightclub.
I think that's odd to me. And the reason I say that is because I get you're on a golf course and the loud music thing. This is the one tournament we are, minus the Ryder Cup, you are allowed to like hit air horns and scream at golfers. So why can't we just have music the whole time in the background?
I don't think you can have a bass thumping the whole time. Maybe that's a little different. Yeah. Nightclub music. But that's the kind of party scene that it is. It's not a golf tournament. It's a party for 4 days.
You're going to allow people to get drunk and scream. I don't know what the difference is between that and just having music in a tent somewhere.
Well, I remember it was, I believe it was the last time. Yeah, it was Seattle and New England was when they you also had the Super Bowl happening basically in the same spot.
Did he go to the game?
I didn't go to the game, but you had the Super Bowl on Sunday, and it all led up to the Waste Management all weekend and then the Super Bowl within a couple of miles from each other.
God, that's chaos over there.
Imagine that sports weekend. If you could pull both of those off, the Super Bowl and the Waste Management, the same weekend.
That would be nuts.
All right, we got a good show today. There is some Blazer stuff to get to today.
Oh, we got some juicy Blazer stuff.
We have some juicy Blazer stuff. Evidently, Damian Lillard is unhappy, and he's finally voiced his concerns.
Who would have thunk it? This team is average, and he's tired of it.
Oh, just, you know, more than 70% of the fan base, but whatever. So we'll talk about that. Chris Haynes wrote the story. He's going to join the show today at 12:30. Get the insight from Chris Haynes. And then at 1 o'clock, I'm actually excited about this. I booked this out because I didn't know a Lillard story was coming. Thank God it worked out.
Yeah, I'm jacked for this.
Tom Verducci, SportsIllustrated.com and Fox Sports Dugout? Because you don't say sideline.
Dugout analyst?
Dugout reporter?
Sure. We'll ask him what the terminology is.
Longtime baseball man.
Yeah.
Really good writer. He's going to join us at 1, and we're going to talk to him about MLB expansion. We heard today that old Mikey Barrett and the group, whoever it is, behind trying to bring baseball to Portland was at the owner meetings. So that just makes us even more interested. Tom Verducci at 1 o'clock. We'll talk about that.
My sports pants are tight.
We've got NFL true or false. We've got some good news for Duck fans that may want to win money next football season.
Ooh.
Tell you what that is. Mike Rabel was hired by the Tennessee Titans yesterday, officially at a press conference. And he gave his two cents on college football correlating with the NFL. And I'm just curious if it is a bad conversation for college football now that he's throwing it out there. We'll tell you what we're talking about with that. The Philly guy that ran into the post. If you haven't seen this all over the internet, you got to look it up right now. There's a Philadelphia Eagles fan that's so jacked out of his mind that he's in the subway and he's following the subway as it starts to go. But he doesn't see a pole, and he smacks right into a pole. So all the fans are cheering. He's going crazy. He's running, and boom, he smacks right into a pole, falls to the ground. The sub keeps going. Everybody starts laughing. They have found who he is, and they have interviewed him.
He's got an explanation of why it happened.
So we'll hear from Philadelphia Subway Man today. And then, we got a lot of things to get to.
It's going to be a little show.
We're on Twitter, at Durant Sprague, at Theodore Johnson, and at Brandon Sprague. Let's start with the Damian Lillard news. It came out last night around 10 o'clock. Dame secretly met with owner Paul Allen, and it doesn't sound good for Neil Olshey. We'll get to that next. You got Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. All right, 12:18. Welcome back in on The Fan. Chris Haynes going to join the show in 12 minutes of ESPN because he sent out quite a story last night about Damian Lillard. This came out about a half hour after the Blazers lost to the Nuggets. I still don't know how they lost that game, but
that's a whole other issue.
They're the Blazers, so they did. And he sends out a story that Lillard met with Paul Allen for an hour prior to the Indiana Pacers game last week at the Moda Center. And there's some pretty good details in this story. First of all, this is the first time they had ever really had a conversation.
A one-on-one sit-down about the organization.
They met, the draft process through the years. They've probably talked, exchanged pleasantries, but they finally had like a one-on-one conversation. It was just Allen. It was just Lillard. Although my money would be that Burt Cold was somehow there still. But he sits down with Paul Allen, basically expressing his dissatisfaction with the current direction the organization is. He's not happy with where the team is at. He's not happy with what's projecting out for this team. And as Haynes points out in the story multiple times, Lillard makes it abundantly clear he wants to play here. He wants to win a championship here. He does not want to leave. Paul Allen was actually initially concerned that the meeting was for Damian Lillard to set up so he could request a trade. But that was not the case. So I'll read just a juicy tidbit that I found at least juicy from it. Haynes writes, "It's not unprecedented for Allen to meet with marquee players of his franchise. He is also the owner of Seattle Seahawks and frequently has sit-downs with key players," a source said. "This was the first time Lillard and Allen have spoken in such capacity. The meeting, which sources described as a productive, open forum to share opinions and express concerns, could also lead to more sit-downs in the future. During the gathering, Allen also sought answers. Allen acknowledged the roster imbalance, but questioned why the team had suffered through an inconsistent first half. Lillard issued a heartfelt vote of confidence for head coach Terry Stotts," sources said. They also discussed players to target. The New York Times' Mark Stein recently reported that the Blazers are one of the teams trying to engage in trade talks with the Clippers for big man DeAndre Jordan, but the Clippers haven't had any serious offers. In addition, Lillard sought an explanation from Allen as to why Will Barton was traded to Denver in 15. Lillard made it known he didn't agree with the move. Barton is a penetrating spot-up shooter, the type of player Portland could use on the wing. So he gives his support for Terry Stotts.
Yeah.
He meets with the owner one-on-one, and he gives player suggestions that the team should go get. Not involved in any of this and not getting backed, GM Neil Olshey.
Yeah, that was to me, the biggest takeaway from the article. So he wanted to sit down, not with the general manager, he wanted it with the owner. And when it was talked about why this team is struggling, and that was the report that came out a while back, if you remember, Paul Allen was hiring a firm and bringing people together to figure out, is it talent or is it coaching? Lillard clearly put his two cents into that conversation of saying it's not coaching. There's just simply not enough talent on this roster. We traded away the wing that we currently could use in a guy like Will Barton who could score and create his own shot. They're tied down with bad contracts and there's not much flexibility. I love that Damian Lillard did this. He's turning 28 this offseason. He has, you want to be realistic with it, what, 4 or 5 years in his prime coming up. Guys usually can play at a pretty high level. So they're 32, 33 years old. Chris Paul's right around that range and he's still playing at a high level. So I'll give him 4 or 5 more years. Athletes start to see that clock ticking. And if there is not immediate action to improve this roster, there's going to be growing frustration with Damian Lillard. And this is the way the vast majority of realistic fans feel about the organization. We're all sitting here and asking the same questions. What's the plan? Where are you going? When are you going to change things? And when are we going to stop sitting on our hands and actually see some change? Because if there's anything that we know about this current roster that's in place, it's that it can't compete against the best teams in the NBA. So what are we waiting for? And what is it going to take to spur that action? And I think that was the most exciting takeaway for me was Damian Lillard feels that same way. He wants to see something changed, and he's tired of just being on a mediocre basketball team.
Yeah, we did a poll question at Dirt and Sprague. He has 4 years remaining on his contract. Will he be in Portland for all four? Yep, he'll stay committed or no, frustrations boil over. I don't disagree with you on meeting with Paul Allen and getting this off his chest. If I'm Neil Olshey and I saw this report, and you know Neil Olshey was given a heads up probably right before it was published, hey, Neil, something's coming down.
Well, it sounded like Paul told team employees after the meeting that, you know, hey, by the way, I sat down with Dame tonight.
We still haven't seen Neil Olshey since the flip-off.
He's not been in a game.
What was that, the fifth or sixth, seventh game of the season?
It was early on in the year, and Blake Griffin hit the game-winning three.
Yeah, we haven't seen him publicly since then. I think he was actually at the PK80. I saw him going down the stairs, but he wasn't being interviewed or anything. This, if I'm Neil Olshey, you're waking up today. I think you're scrambling, and I think you're calling everybody. You're trying to work as many deals. You're trying to get as much money off your books. People can put this up however they want. I don't think there's any other interpretation to have other than reading that piece and going, Dame has lost trust in the GM. He loves Terry Stotts. He's been very vocal about that. But when they talked about this, he gave player suggestions to the owner, not the general manager. Mm-hmm. He backed the head coach, not the GM.
Right.
Neil Olshey today has to be the guy on the phone right now doing anything and everything he possibly can, because you know if you don't, your time is done. And the tough thing for the Blazers is, do you make a move now? Lillard's unhappy. He's had discontent with what moves they've been making. They also point out the players that Portland has brought in that basically they've waived, but they've stretched out the pay provisions.
Right, the contracts that are on the books of guys that never played a second in a Blazer uniform.
Festus is going to be paid till 2020-something or whatever.
Varejao.
Andrew Nicholson.
Yeah.
That's been brought up in this article. You have to make a move, but if you're Portland and your all-star and your superstar player comes to you and voices frustration, are you better suited to make a move before the deadline, or do you let him try to make a move at the deadline and then assess the damage and say, not good enough, bud. Goodbye.
Well, and that's the tough part. I think the difficult situation Paul Allen's in right now is how much trust do you have in Neil Olshey? It's difficult to fire a GM before a trade deadline, especially when we're, what, 2.5 weeks away from the deadline? 2 weeks away? I mean, it's coming up right around the corner, so nothing's going to change. So you trust him for 2 weeks, but if he doesn't make that move, it makes me wonder how long he's going to stick around this upcoming offseason and how long he can be in Portland and how long Damian Lillard is going to give him to try and go out and make that move. But it's clear when you look at the structure of the roster, and I thought Haynes brought up a good point in the article about when you look at the five biggest salaries on this team, three of the five, you're just flushing down the toilet. Evan Turner's not a good fit. He's maybe just for my Blazer bias sense, I think he's the most overpaid player in the NBA. He makes a ridiculous amount of money to not do a whole lot, and he doesn't fit with Dame and CJ. And then the other two guys who are in the top five, you literally don't play. Myers Leonard and Mo Harkless don't play anymore.
Well, Mo will get minutes here or there. Myers is a DMP every night now.
Basically a DMP every night. Mo Harkless has the once in a blue moon game against the Lakers, and then he goes back to not playing or being in bad favor with Terry Stotts. Those are three of your five biggest contracts. Outside of Dame and CJ, it's Evan Turner, Myers Leonard, and Mo Harkless. That's money that you're just flushing down the toilet, and that's where it falls on Neil O'Shea. You put yourself in this situation. If you want to keep your job, get yourself out of this situation.
Yeah, and I think aside from Neil Olshey, because it feels like most of us all feel the same way and have the same thought about him, I read this article, Dirt, and when we've talked about Dame and the comments of being a Blazer lifetime, this kind of reeks of brand management and people in the ear. And you point out, you recognize the age, right? He's 28.
28 years old.
Maybe his prime ends at 33. Maybe 34 at the most.
Sure.
That's coming quick. And he has four more years on this contract. When you become an athlete, I just see this stuff. You can read about it. You become a brand like Lillard, and you get these shoe companies and these execs and these handlers. They're in your ear. Your guys, they're in your ear. Your agent, he's in your ear about not good enough. It needs to be better. Mm-hmm. You need to be better. You need to think about you. And at some point, I think it wears on some guys. I'm not saying it's worn on Damian Lillard, but I think he's more conscious of this. And this, when we talked about the longevity here, this is what concerned me. This is a little concerning from the standpoint of, even if they don't keep Neil O'Shea, well, who do they go get and what move can they make? Because they need to make this team for Lillard to want to stay the four full years left
without demanding a trade.
They have to be almost a title contender. And that is what's concerning to me. This is almost a glimpse of, you know, make the right moves here.
Right.
I want out.
Right.
You know, he's not going to say that publicly. He understands what he has tweeted and what he has said.
And he reaffirmed to Paul Allen, he wants to win here.
But he's also a guy very conscious that he is stuck in mediocrity, and that is not acceptable for him.
Can't blame him at all for feeling that way.
No.
Can't blame him at all. You get to that point in your career. This is the process every star goes through. They see the writing on the wall. Nothing's going to change. You're not making any trades. We're an average team. I'm not going to sit around winning 42, 43 games for the next 4 years. Go make something happen.
Yeah. The man who wrote the story about Dame meeting with Paul Allen, Chris Haynes of ESPN. He'll join the show next. What does he think the future is for the Blazers? Chris Haynes is next. Welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague with you on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. We were discussing the story written by the guest who's on the horn now, Chris Haynes, ESPN, about Damian Lillard and the meeting with Paul Allen. He is on Twitter at Chris B. Haynes, formerly here in the Northwest covering the Blazers, now national with ESPN. Good to have you on with us, Chris, man. You're killing it on ESPN. Let's just start with the story that you wrote about Damian Lillard meeting with Paul Allen. Do you know exactly how long this has kind of been festering with Dame about frustrations within the organization?
I don't think I can definitively say how long that it's been festering. I just will say that he's always expressed his concern with Neil O'Shea and Coach Stotts. You know, they talk regularly. But from the information I gathered recently, he just felt like what I was told, he just felt like it was time to go all the way to the top. Mm. And he did it privately. This happened last Thursday, actually. And so I'm a couple of days late getting on it. But, you know, he wanted to make sure that everybody was in sync with the plan. Because, like I said, he's heard it before through the GM. Now he wants to make sure Mr. Paul Allen was on board as well. And he just expressed and voiced his concerns and just wanted to know the plan of attack moving forward. And he let him know that he's trying to compete for a title while he has while he's still in his prime. He turns 28 this summer. So I think this was just an opportunity for him to take more of a leadership role and to see what the organization has in store. And I think he left, and I think Paul Allen left, feeling that it was a positive meeting.
How should, I mean, you mentioned the GM there. How should Neil O'Shea feel about this? Because we heard the story a while back, even Paul Allen was trying to investigate what the problem was. Is it the roster? Is it the talent? Is it coaching? What's the deal? And in the article, you say that Lillard fully threw his support again behind his head coach. That makes me wonder if he's pointing the finger a little bit at Neil O'Shea. How should the GM feel about this meeting and not being involved in it?
I don't know. I don't know. Like, I don't know if the GM is supposed to be involved in every meeting. Dame and, you know, they talk regularly. But at this point, I think Dame felt like he needed to have a conversation with the owner of the team to see where he stood and see if everybody's plans and agendas, if they were all on the same page. And you have to remember, this is the first time he's ever had a meeting with Paul Allen in his 6 years of being there. I do believe that Paul met once, maybe max twice, with LaMarcus when he was here. So I just feel like, to answer your question, I don't know what that means about Neil being left out of the meeting. I just feel like he knows and understands where Neil stands. But now he just wants to know where Paul Allen stands on it and make sure he's on the same page. And I wouldn't be surprised, guys. I wouldn't be surprised if Paul Allen took a more hands-on approach moving forward. I think Paul Allen left that meeting a little bit more enlightening about what's going on. And so I wouldn't be surprised if he changes course and tries to really help in accelerating this process.
Yeah, he's a passionate guy, and his football team missed the playoffs too, so maybe he wants to see a winner again. Chris Haynes, ESPN, our guest on Twitter, at Chris B. Haynes. You pointed out the roster and where it currently is at. We know about the luxury tax and just how much money they currently have invested in this team. You're also very plugged in with players and how they feel and where the league currently is. What would you say in terms of flexibility and maybe having the ability to move the roster around enough to put Dame and the Blazers in title contention? Is that even feasible within the next year?
Guys, I'm not, I have to be honest with you. I'm not the best, at predicting the cap and understanding, I understand the basis, and I try to learn as much as I can, but just looking at the roster and looking at three of the top five highest paid players on the Trailblazers is Evan Turner, Mo Harkless, Myers Leonard. Two of those guys aren't even in the rotation. Mm-hmm. Just looking at that, I really do not see a pathway for even a guy like DeAndre Jordan. And I guess if a guy like DeAndre Jordan comes aboard, you probably have to attach a third team to the deal to make things work. And then, I've spoken with, rival executives as late as last night, and they're hearing that CJ and Dame are off the table. So if you're thinking about, so if Portland's thinking about making a move of significance, and that move doesn't entail CJ or Dame, I don't really think that move is out there. And so to ask you a question, it's going to be very difficult to right the ship in a time frame to where Damian Lillard won't lose a ton of years off of his prime. It's going to be really difficult. But I think if there's an owner that is willing to spend, if there's an owner that's willing to, get creative and go outside the norm, I think that one owner is Paul Allen. And so I think Damian and Paul Allen will have more meetings in the future. And so I think that's a good thing. But I think right now Dame just wanted to, voice that, look, man, voice that he has a certain amount of years left, and he wants to see things done right to put the franchise in position to contend for titles. So I think more so he's applying pressure. Mm-hmm. And I think he's justified in doing so.
Yeah.
I mean, you mentioned the difficult spot that this team's in with not a lot of attractive assets outside of Dame CJ, maybe Nurkic, who's playing in a contract year himself. And that it makes us all wonder, is trading CJ the right move? Because that's what it will take to get something attractive back that maybe if you change the balance of the roster, you can win at a higher level. How do you think that would be received by Damian Lillard? I know you just said that he's not currently available, but if they get to that point of wanting to trade CJ to get something meaningful back, how does Damian Lillard respond to that?
Well, those two are very close. I don't know how he would respond to that. If you talked with CJ, I believe he was asked about it a couple times earlier this year, maybe last year, and you know, his response was very professional. Like he said, "Man, this is a business." You know, he like CJ knows the business, and Dame knows the business, and so I don't know how they would handle it, because one thing to say it now, then when you're hit with the situation, you don't know how you respond or how you react. So I don't know. But, you know, there's – I know Mark Stein, he put out something last week in his newsletter about what he can possibly see this, you know, this year. And one of those things were that he could see that those two being broken up this year. Because, it makes sense when you look at it. It's like if you're going to get a significant player back, you have to give up a significant player. And I don't think the organization will give up Damian Lillard unless they're getting a Kyrie Irving in return. So that's not happening. So I think the logical other option is CJ. But as of right now, I'm told that those two are off limits.
I'm kind of putting you on the pressure cooker with this one, Chris, but I'm just kind of curious your two cents. If you were have to make a bet, yes or no, would you bet yes or no that the Blazers do move CJ McCollum at some point in the 2018 year?
I'll answer it like this. I think in order for them to get a major player in return, a player that's going to take them to the next level possibly, they would probably have to pry with CJ, and not just CJ, CJ and somebody else. So, Damian's the franchise point guard. I don't see them moving him. You got to give up somebody that people want. That people want.
That's not Myers Leonard, then?
Yeah. Want to make sure I put that out there. Yeah. To get something of value in return. And I think he's probably the – I haven't heard anything, you know, to that nature. But obviously I think a lot of people feel like he would be the logical guy.
You know, this is kind of the clock you start to see tick with a lot of these star players and franchises when they can't get over the hump. Paul George got to a similar point in Indiana, and I know he had more success getting to an Eastern Conference Finals, but he wanted to go somewhere else and have a chance to win. And let's play the hypothetical that they maybe are making some moves, but they're lateral and they're winning 42, 43, 44 games every year. Does Damian Lillard stick out the remaining 4 years of his contract, or does he get to a point where he says, you know what, I tried, now get me out of here and I want a chance to go win?
You know what? We'll have to see. We'll definitely have to see. I know he won't be happy with just, you know, winning 40 games every year, getting bounced in the first round, 7th, 8th seed. That's not what he's about. So, you know, we'll have to see. He's a very loyal guy. In that meeting with Paul Allen, he reassured him that his plan is to remain a Trailblazer, but he also doesn't want his prime to go to waste. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think we'll have to wait and see how things progress from here. But I think what we can glean from what happened in the meeting is that now him and Paul Allen are on speaking terms. It sound like they will have dialogue moving forward, and that's a good thing for the owner and the best player to be on the same page. And now from here on out, I think it's fair for us to see and just try to see where they go from here. Yeah, I really do think it's a good thing for the organization and a good thing for Dame. But as far as future, I think we have to wait to see how things progress.
You think he'll be an all-star today?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
All right. I'm a little nervous just because I see all these posts coming out about NBA writers, and some of them are leaving them off their picks, but we'll see.
Yeah. No, I think he got it.
All right, there we go. Good stuff. Chris Haynes, ESPN, NBA writer, columnist. You can find him on Twitter @ChrisBHaynes. formerly here in the Northwest, and the guy had to go national on us and be a big deal and be on TV and everything. But thank you for coming on, man. We always appreciate the time.
Y'all take care, guys. Happy New Year.
All right, there we go. Good stuff. Chris Haynes, ESPN. Where does that leave you? Everything we just heard.
There's one really scary thing out of that whole interview. Okay. One terrifying thing.
All right, Dirt will tell us what that is. We'll talk a little more about that next on The Fan. What's the percentage chance baseball will be in Portland in the next 5 years? We'll talk to Sports Illustrated's Tom Verducci.
Sign me up,
Fox
baby.
Sports as well. Yeah, when I sent this email off, all I thought about was I kept seeing your smiling face in my head. Like, God, if baseball. We get him, Dirt is going to cry if we get Tom Verducci.
Let's talk some baseball.
All right, so we talked to Haynes there, and... He tiptoed around some stuff, no doubt.
Yeah, he's protecting. He gets information straight from folks, and he's protecting it. I can't blame him.
I'm not surprised at some of that stuff.
No.
But you said one thing really disturbed you, or it was troubling, is what you said. What are you talking about?
Well, because it doesn't make any damn sense. How is CJ McCollum not available in trade talks? Someone please enlighten me on how a significant trade can happen that does not exist, CJ McCollum or Damian Lillard.
Because they still think that they can win with both of them and they're better off with that.
Which is ridiculous. Fine. But this talk of like going to get what do you think? Do you think the Clippers are going to give up DeAndre Jordan for like Evan Turner and Myers Leonard and insert any other average player on this roster?
It's not going to happen. I think you would imagine Nurk would be part of that. You can't have Nurk.
Nurk makes $2 million a year.
You got a real
problem. DeAndre Jordan makes $22 million a year.
I understand, but Nurk is going in that deal, and then if you can get him to take one of those bad contracts back in Evan Turner, then it works out.
So you think the Clippers
think the Clippers would take Evan Turner and Nurkic for DeAndre Jordan?
I'm not saying they would.
Well, this is my...
I'm saying that's... I think part of it is how it comes across in the media where you're, look, he's Olshay's fishing. He's trying to see if there's a bargain out there to be had. And so if you publicly say CJ is off the table until you get a bite or in the course of a conversation, a name comes up that you weren't expecting to come up, then all of a sudden CJ might be available. But publicly, you don't want to create. Plus, you got us talking about it here. The first whiff that CJ is specifically tied to a trade, what the hell's going on at practice for the next 3 weeks? And you don't want that.
I don't think that changes
Who
anything.
Who cares? If you're trying to shop him, you're shopping him. He knows about it anyway.
You have a frustrated star who has 4 years left on his deal, and he wants to be here and he wants to win here. And if you're just simply changing the chairs around on the Titanic, nothing is going to change. You can trade Ed Davis or Shabazz Napier or Yusuf Nurk. Trade any of these players that you want. That's fine. You know what it's going to bring back? It's going to bring back a player of similar talent, and you're going to be stuck in the same exact situation.
You're only making a move like that in terms of trading out similar talent. Like you trade Ed Davis for whoever is the equivalent of an Ed Davis. You're only making moves like that to dump salary. The problem with the thinking about that is the cap has not risen to the point where they thought it would 2 years ago. These teams are smarter now. They're not going to sit back. What team legitimately needs Evan Turner right now in the NBA? I mean, there's probably other teams that could use Evan Turner.
He's not putting a team over the top.
But at $17 million a year, what team wants that? And that is the problem. If you're not willing to trade CJ, and I'm still not sold... Rival execs hearing something right now could be different from a week. But if you're not willing to part with that, Yusuf Nurkic doesn't help you salary cap wise. You have to dump one of those big contracts. And I just don't know who's willing to take that on. Right. And if they are, then great. I'll go up on this show the first day possible and tell you, Neil Olshay, that was a bad contract, but way to get the hell out of it.
Just like we did when they traded Alan Crabb.
Exactly.
Bad contract. Hey, great trade. Way to get it off your books.
You got out of it. Good job. But until that happens, we are left sitting here going, your star player is complaining to the owner directly, something he's never done. And I know maybe Haynes had info and doesn't want to share it or was told not to share it. I am pretty convinced there's no way you read that article and don't think that's bad news for Neil Olshay. Does he talk to Neil Olshay every day? Probably. But does that mean those conversations are pleasant or great? Hey, what are you doing with the roster, Neil? Where are we going? Yeah. That doesn't mean they have a great relationship. That's just a guy saying, make us better.
Yeah. That's all he's saying. And you know, for You love the idea that Paul Allen's all in, and I know he's gotten a lot of flack as an owner, but he's been willing to spend, and he continues to be willing to spend, and you could do much worse as a mid-market team in terms of ownership than you can with Paul Allen. To a certain extent, when you have this kind of salary situation, your hands are tied. There's just only so much that you can do. And, you know, somebody was texting in. I thought they were trying to get under the tax, and now they're trying to add a player with $22 million. Well, you have to make the salaries match, basically. They do have the trade exemption that could help them bring in somebody like DeAndre Jordan if they needed to use it in this case. But the sentiment from Paul Allen was, this isn't a team that can compete for an NBA championship. This is not a roster that's better than Golden State, Houston, San Antonio, Minnesota, and Oklahoma City. It's not better than any of those teams.
So, nor is it with DJ.
No, and it isn't with DJ. And that was his mindset of wanting to get under the cap, is why am I paying this tax if we're just going to be a 500 basketball team? It doesn't make any damn sense, and it still doesn't make sense. So that was the sentiment behind getting back below the tax threshold. But Haynes brings up the obvious point. We've had listeners send it in. If you want to get something of value in return, you have to trade something of value. And to me, if you're going to try and go for it in the next 3 or 4 years with Damian Lillard, that's the only way that you can change it up to try and go do it, is by parting ways with CJ McCollum, because it's the only thing, it's the only piece that you have that can bring an all-star caliber player back.
And if you missed that interview, we'll tweet it out after the show. But according to Haynes, right now, that is not even an option for them. We'll see. Maybe it's all just hearsay. Execs like to throw around different things because they want to throw teams off. Mm-hmm. But right now, what Chris Haynes is hearing of ESPN is that CJ is not on the table in any trade discussions. All right, we have a loaded second hour. We'll get to our NFL true or false. I've got some good news for Oregon Duck football fan that may want to try to win some money next season.
Ooh, sign me up.
We'll bring those to you. But I want to start hour two with Sports Illustrated's Tom Verducci to talk the MLB expansion to Portland conversation, Edgar Martinez, his chances of making the Hall of Fame, and other baseball topics. Tom Verducci, SI.com. Next, Dirt and Sprague with you on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.